You know, not every church that has a pastor is a hierarchy of many layers. Many of them are independent churches, okay? But where you have a denomination, you have a hierarchy. And they may not be called the bishop. The Protestants have got some nice names that they use: superintendent, general superintendent, regional superintendent. These are words that they use. I've heard of one that even has them called captains. Captains of hundreds, captains of fifties. It's hierarchy. It's the same thing. And the orders come from the top. They tell when they're in a denomination. By the way, speaking of denomination, did you hear the news about the Methodist Church? Oh, they kept that awful quiet, didn't they? They put it out only once. Where you catch the news on your phone, you know, sometimes? Do you get that sometimes, some of you brethren? The Methodist Church, their hierarchy, their headquarters, they voted that from now on they're going to accept LGBTQ and they're going to ordain the LGBTQ. You know what I mean by that. And anybody in the Methodist Church that doesn't like it, they can hit the road. The atrophies again. They're bringing wickedness in, unrighteousness, polluting the true church of God. Well, what did you think? Did they have bishops in Jerusalem? Nobody's got an opinion today.
What has been ministered at there are no bishops, and we call them here general overseers sometimes. I don't know what that is, what you have in the
Yes.
States. GOs, we have GOs, and we have presidents and founders, and we have papas, and there is no alignment with scripture. Like you have tried to communicate the fact that Brother Mark is bringing the word is not our pastor.
Amen.
Not our bishop. You know, so Even if Ramak is bringing the award every day, it doesn't make him the pastor. It does that. God leaves his hands up. And he brings the word. And everybody takes the word back to God and makes a response. If there is anything that we don't agree with, we bring it up and ask him. And we go on. You know, so the fact that he said rapport, after some years he went to them that were, I think in Galatians, that you read it today, that he went to Jerusalem and he met those that were starting we are setting pillars in the church and communicate to them the gospel. So there is no precedent in scripture of what we see today as general, you know, everybody has his own church and pastors. It's not in scripture. It's Nicolaitanism. May God help us. And it is so done that people grow up and we think that that is the right thing to do. The wrong thing is so popular. So it is so it's so common that it looks like the right thing. And may God deliver us. The children grow up and they have seen this, and they say it looks as though this is the right thing, but it's not. I will thank God. Praise God.
Amen. You know, Amen. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I was looking at the Thea definition of Nicholas, and you know, I have fears in my heart. You know, a man may not bear the title pastor or bishop or whatever, but by action, to be possible in the spirit that the man will be acting as a pastor or bishop. The meaning here of Nicholas is victor of the people. So when a man acts in a manner that, you know, he calls the shots, if you do not get approval from him, nothing happens in the midst. You know, automatically that Nicolaitanism has taken place, has occurred. So I think we have to also watch ourselves and help ourselves so that when that spirit wants to creep in, we'll be able to fight it at the gate, because it is possible that one begins to oversee every other person just by action, but not by title, but the spirit is the same. So we have to watch ourselves so that we do not accept that spirit, you know, in any gathering that we find ourselves. Now that's the fear, you know, that came to me when I look at the meaning here, victor of the people, the meaning of Nicholas. Praise God.
You know, Brother Opie, and by the same token, I have known a few, not many, a few men who had the title of pastor, but who weren't lording it over people.
Okay.
I have known a few. I say Brother Charlie, he didn't do that. He didn't lord it over people. He was just a humble shepherd. That's a, what more can I say? Not many. It's very rare. Not many.
That's a very good example. While, you know, in the end time church these days, we have similar things happening where men do not go by titles, but they call the shots.
Yeah.
And they expel believers in their midst who do not agree with them.
Yeah. You know, Howard, I'm thinking about our background. When I was a kid, we did not call the ministers pastor. Are they doing that now, Howard? In these Mennonite churches? I think they are. But we didn't. It was Brother Elias.
Yes, they are. They are, they, pastor.
Yeah, but see, when I was a kid, it was Brother Elias, Brother Bozer, you know, Brother Richard. That was the only term, Brother Leon, that was the only term that we ever used, and they didn't act like they were lording it over us.
I know, we grew up just calling them by their first name.
Yeah, but we would always say brother, we often did, you know, as a little respect. But it's turned now. They're all pastors.
Okay,
can you hear me, Mark?
Yeah, we can, Mike, go ahead.
It's hard to tell if that mute button's working, but anyway, I had a scripture come to my mind in regard to Howard's brother. It's in Isaiah, and it says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And that little word, as, at the front of that scripture, has a meaning. And it means in this way. In other words, in the way that the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his ways higher than our ways. And so the question is, how are the heavens higher than the earth? Is it in altitude? No, because what might be up for me might be down for China. And so what it means is, his ways are higher, spiritually speaking. And the thought that came to me was, how Howard's brother needs to be dealt with is on a very high spiritual plane. It's not just a natural way of trying to bring him out of this by giving him good reason and things like that, but it's in a high spiritual plane. And I just felt like that was confirmation to how you were proposing to deal with it, Mark, that we really need to fight this in a spiritual way.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. That in itself is how we should take care of each other in every way, too. Not only, you know, the ones that are not walking the right path or being deceived, but each other, we have to pray for in spiritual ways.
Mark?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
There's a couple of scriptures I wanted to read about what you were talking about there. The first one you alluded to, but there's something more that I think we need to see. When you talked about Matthew 23, it says, the Lord says, but you are not to be called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, And all of you are brethren.
Yes.
And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. For he that would be greatest among you shall be called your servant. And whoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he who shall humble himself shall be exalted. So again, the summary is, and what it's leading up to is, people that want to have these titles and seek after them and want to exalt themselves, you know, that's pride, that's vanity. But God says we're not to do that. You know, again, we have to fight this spirit of pride that is so embedded in us, you know, from our youth. That is there, and it's a powerful spirit. And also, Peter had something to say about that in, was it 1 Peter chapter 5? He said, "The elders which are among you I exhort, for am I also an elder?" See, that's what he called himself, an elder. "Am I a witness for the sufferings of Christ? And also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for a filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples unto the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away." And what he's saying there is, if you do this, if you don't lord over the flock, but you feed the flock and you take oversight over the flock, there will become a time when you'll receive your reward, which will be a crown of glory. And he goes on to say, "Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yes, all of you be subject one to another." Interesting. Be subject one to another. "And be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all of your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because of the adversary devil, as a roaring lion walks about seeking whom he may devour." Right? So the roaring lion is out there looking to feed that spirit of pride. And God is telling us, resist that and be walk in humility. Because that's what we're called to do. Not one is above another, but he says we are all brethren. Amen.
Amen. Now, if you're going to have a church and not have a man called pastor, it's going to demand a lot more of the people. It's going to be very difficult. I had men tell me years ago, "You can't do that. It won't work. It won't work. You have to take the authority. You have to lord it over them." The reason it won't work with them is because the sheep want it so. What was that verse? Where is it? In Jeremiah or Isaiah? We read it a while back.
I think it's Jeremiah.
The priests take the rule over the
The priests rule over the flock,
and the people love to have it so.
Yeah, the prophets
and the prophets prophesy according to their own, and the people love to have it so. But the next verse says, But what will you do in the end thereof?
Hmm.
In other words, it's going to come to an end. Then what are you going to do? So it's a matter of lazy sheep also that don't want to rise up, and they don't want to get into the word, and they don't want to have to defend the word or anything else. They just want to be spoon-fed and be like baby birds opening their mouth, and the old mother puts the worm in the mouth, you know. Where is that verse in Isaiah? I think it's in Isaiah. You said Jeremiah?
I think it's Jeremiah. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the sheep rule over the people by their own authority. And the sheep love to have it so.
What verse is that, Larry?
I don't know. I think it's Jeremiah 5, maybe.
Did you say 31? Oh, 531. Rita says it's 531.
Yeah.
Well, let's get it so that we get it straight here.
The prophets prophesy falsely.
Well, the first verse before that says a wonderful, which doesn't mean wonderful.
No.
It means an astonishing and horrible thing is committed in the land.
Yeah.
Astonishing and horrible. The prophets prophesy falsely. And the priests, here's that old order of priesthood again, clergy. Priests bear rule by their means. In other words, any way that they feel to do it. And my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? So in other words, that system can't prosper unless people allow it. They want to be entertained. They don't want to have to put any, they don't want to have to invest anything very difficult into it. And they want to be given the feeling that we're just coasting on to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The sheep are lazy.
Well, lazy sheep are not going to make sons of God.
This is why you see the majority of Christians are in the outer court. And they don't want to take the time to get into the Word of God and become students of the Word of God and ultimately become teachers. We really are called to a higher calling, you know, to be able to teach other brethren, weaker brethren or new brethren, but all of us should not only preach the gospel to lead people, you know, into the church or into the kingdom, but then to continue to teach them to come to a greater place in Christ. And people love to just be fed and not exert themselves.
That's right. That's how you can develop a mega church, Larry. In that manner.
You develop a what?
Mega church.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Get the right kind of entertainment. You know, a brother we used to know years ago, he said, find out what the people want and give it to them.
Yeah. That's right.
I looked his website up the other day, and he goes by Dr. He's Dr. John.
Dr. John.
Dr. John?
Yeah, he gives his name. I'm not going to mention any more than that.
Yeah. No, he wanted to be a doctor real bad.
He got that doctorate. I could have got one. He got the doctorate by mail order out of that place in Florida.
Yeah.
Fill out a few papers, write a few essays, and you get a doctorate. But you have to pay for it. I don't know. You could get different degrees depending on how much you paid. It was 300 for this, 500 for that, you know, like going shopping. And then you can be doctored. I knew the one fella in North Creek. His wife was one of our head nurses, and he went through that program. And he really wasn't a preacher or anything. He says, "Well, I got my certificate now." He says, "I'm a reverend now." Yeah. But you know what? He wasn't a teacher. He wasn't anything. He just went through the thing, and he got a little title called reverend. He had a little shop. He sold fish worms and fishing material and this type of thing. That's all he did.
Self exhortation.
He was so happy that he could be a reverend.
Hey, I got a question, Mark. Well, you talked about early on when Peter was released from the 16 guards.
Yeah.
And you said the guards were killed.
That's what it says.
Where does it say that?
I thought I read it.
Okay.
Uh-oh. All right, let me find it here.
Matthew? No, Matthew.
No, it's in Acts.
Acts, yeah, Acts.
Acts 12:17. Let's find it.
It's verse 19.
What'd you say?
Verse 19. That's where.
Yeah. All right. Start in 17 and go down to, yeah. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers, those are the guards, and commanded that they should be put to death. And then he went down to Judea, to Caesarea, and there he abode. And well, the next thing we know is that the worms take over his body and start eating him. But those 16 guards were put to death because Peter got out.
Yeah. Okay. I couldn't find it. You got me.
But anyway, I found it interesting that he told them, go show these things to James and the brethren.
Mark, I have a question.
Okay.
The last concluding part about the people loving battle and being a lazy folk that do not want to take time to study the word and get understanding of the word and become teachers themselves. This room for this spirit of, you know, the Nicolaitans to breathe very well. So it's a situation where the Lord has given grace to a few in the flock, and they are able to study for themselves, get a good foundation of the word they believe in, the apostolic vision, and they begin to, you know, use that knowledge they have obtained to watch for the things that are coming in, the wrong interpretations, errors here and there, sometimes intentional and sometimes not intentional, and you begin to raise questions concerning those observations. And when you raise, and you know, the people or the brothers that are bringing those little errors seem to see you as someone who is causing contention and striving, because they would not want to, you know, admit such errors being made in terms of their ministry. So, what would you call that the spirit of division working through the brethren who have taken time to study and are able to observe little infiltrations of errors. How do you address that if the flock on this wise is hardworking, determined, and they are studying the word, they're able to know the word for themselves, pointing out errors as the ministries come, and then they label them as people who are causing strife and contention. How do we reconcile that? Thank you.
Well, I only caught about every third word that you were saying. I'll try to answer what I think you were asking. You might have been asking two things. One, I'll go back to this fellow Ignatius that believed that there ought to be a bishop over every church. And the reason he believed that, he probably had good motive here, because there were some real strange doctrines that were coming in, and people were beginning to believe some things like Christ didn't really die, and he didn't really resurrect. I don't know, he believed that if you just had one strong man that believed the truth, then he would forcibly not permit anything else to come in that was false. Well, the problem was he was only one man, and you need a plurality of people to agree of what's true and what's not true. You're not the only one that can understand the purposes of God and the voice of the Spirit. And this is the way Jesus set it up. So I guess the other part of what I think you're asking is, how do you deal with it? Well, you have to confront it, I guess. Somebody has to rise up and say, is this really what the Lord wants? And come to a consensus of what you believe. We don't have very many occasions when people come into the meeting and really start spouting off something that is really wild and really crazy. The only time I can remember we did anything like that was, Larry, you were there with us out in Illinois when Art Katz came into the meeting. And he got right up front and he said, you people have no right to be singing the songs of Zion unless you are real Jews. And of course, none of us were real Jews that we knew of anyway. And he went on for quite a while. And I thought, well, somebody gonna correct him? I think a couple of brethren stood up and tried to, Larry, you might have been one, and Jerry Gadwell, I think he might have been one.
Jerry started, and who was it? Said, hold him, let him speak. DeCille. Well, and then
DeCille said, let him say his thing, and then we'll judge what he has to say.
And then I whispered to DeCille about all he's talking about is Jews, natural Jews, but he doesn't say nothing about preaching, Jesus and what he did. And so the CEO told me to go ahead and voice my opinion.
Well, then in the end, when he got all finished, DeCille got up and he said, well, Brother Art, he said, do you believe that there's going to be two brides of Christ? A Jewish bride and a Gentile bride? Well, that shut him up right there.
Yeah.
You can't say there's going to be two brides of Christ. I don't know if that answered your question, Brother Titus. We were having a terrible time hearing you. Did anything we said help you?
Yes. It's good.
Okay. Marty, did you have a hard time getting on today or what? Because if you send me an email while we're on the screen, I can't respond to it.
Reverend Mark.
Yes.
I think the other, some other part of the question was that if we're in a mix like this, and somebody begins to bring a word and say this and this doesn't seem to be in alignment with scripture, and some insist that what they have said must be that, what response should we make? Did you get me? Part of the question, if I heard Brother Titus well, is that if words are coming in the congregation, and some in the, or one in the midst say the scripture begins to point out from scripture that this and this is not in alignment with the word of God. And then the person is being labeled as being causing division. How do we respond to that?
The Word of God should be the foundation of everything that we believe. Tell us what the Word is, then, that you show us the Word and let us judge what is right and what is not. Is this not why we have a plurality? So
the situation in some cases is that how will I put it now? We are, if somebody is saying, let us go to the Word and check it out, and somebody else is saying that, no, this is something that God spoke to me. God gave me a word to do this. And somebody is, I'm saying, let me give an example. I am saying that the scripture does not give provision for this to be done. And some of the people in authority are saying that, well, we can't actually see it in scripture, but the Holy Spirit spoke to me that we should go this way. And when you try to insist on that, let's go to the Word of God. No, there's no need to go to the Word of God because the Spirit spoke to me. So we must go in this direction.
Well, people can use a controlling spirit by saying the Lord spoke to me, okay? And first of all, what they would say, the Lord spoke to me, it has to be, it cannot conflict with the Word of God. And secondly, we're told to try every spirit. Try the spirits. And this is why we have sensitive, mature sons of God. To try the spirit, is this bear witness of what he or she is saying? And people that are sensitive in the spirit, including the women, will say, no, this does not bear witness. I don't feel to go that way. Let's hold off. Let's wait until we get a better witness of the Lord. So you have the two tests. One, it has to be line up with the Word of God. And number two, it has to bear witness by the Spirit. The Word and the Spirit, the two witnesses, have to be in agreement. Did that answer the question?
It did. But the situation is that if amongst the elders, some are insisting that we must go this way and not agreeing to spend time to wait on the Lord to check it out.
Well, I guess I'd have to be there in the meeting and hear what they want to do. And I would be there with my wife, and we would bear witness, or we would say, no, we shouldn't go that way, or we should wait. You've got to be talking about something real, brother. You're not talking about a hypothetical something. You've got to be talking about something real, and I think there's a caution here that somebody wants to go somewhere that maybe the Holy Spirit is not saying.
Yes.
It probably doesn't line up with something that we've been talking about this week or last week even.
No. Okay, I received the word, but I leave it there.
Brother, I tell you, the Nicolaitan and the control spirit is always trying to push in and to set up some system that is not according to the way Christ laid it down. They're always pushing. And you know, brother, if you're going to be a teacher or whatever of the word, it is a very fine line to walk of having the authority of the word and not taking the dominion over the people. It is a very fine line, and it can only be kept in Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. Well, we'll go somewhere else next time. Anybody have a word that they want to bring? You know, anytime, you brethren, you elders, you have a teaching you want to give. I'm not the only guy around, you know.
Muted before, so I can talk now. Oh, yeah, I had a little problem getting on, but I did get on.
Yeah, so...
You know, The thing with the hierarchy that came to my thoughts is that the papacy is the ultimate hierarchy, and it's kind of a replication. What we see with the hierarchy is a replication of the Roman Catholic papacy, Mystery Babylon, and each harlot daughter is replicating that hierarchy, and we are really at war with that system. We're not in fellowship with these people. We're literally at war with them in a spiritual warfare with Mystery Babylon, the great harlot, and her harlot daughters who are replicating the papacy. And that whole sin of Diotrephes and the whole Nicolaitan system, it is antichrist. Like, what do they call him? The vicar of Christ, the Pope. So the Pope is the ultimate usurping of the headship of Christ. And they are replicating that throughout the entire organized Christian system, a replication of this papacy, the sin of Diotrephes, a man ruling or conquering over the laity. And vicar of Christ, it's kind of like they're promoting, okay, we have the victory over Christ. We've taken his position. What is Vicar of Christ? Christ's representative on earth?
Yeah.
What I see is that the whole pastor thing is of the same antichrist spirit as we see in Rome in Mystery Babylon. And it's being therefore replicated in the denominations, the harlot daughters of Rome. But then it's also being replicated in every local church with this sin of Diotrephes, with the pastor usurping the headship of Christ, which is all of the spirit of Antichrist, to take place of Christ. So instead of Christ as the head of the body, the ecclesia, we have a man with a spirit of control and a spirit of witchcraft and a spirit of Antichrist usurping the headship of Jesus Christ over the body. And that's all I wanted to share. But that's what I see is coming with that hierarchy they want to bring. They want to replicate the papacy on a smaller level.
And when we come to the final times of our last 3.5 years, this thing will manifest in its ultimate one man rule and the beast system supporting it. Well, thank you very much for being with us and being part of us, and for giving your sharing with what the Lord has shown you. To me, I find that very valuable to hear from you, to know what God is saying to each of us.
Brother Mark, what will be your response, please? Sorry, just 1 second. If I or one of us in the group suggest that now that we are growing in number, that in every city we have a church building, what is going to be your response?
In
every country, like in Canada, there should be a building for this group. In New York, should be a building, church building, and in Nigeria, a church building for this group. What is going to be your response?
Well, that would be nice if we could have this group manifest in every city. I don't know how I'd work that out, because Jesus said, "I will build my church." I think it would just have to happen. people would come to you and say, "Opie, we want to have a meeting. Can we meet in your house?" And then you begin to say, "Well, yes, let's do that." So if God does that, that's wonderful. That's fine. We would love to have people come here and meet in our house too. So far, I haven't found anybody that's ready to come, but it might happen.
It's a bit different. Setting up a building for the church in each country or city, as the case may be.
Amen.
What's going to be your response?
Do you want to be the bishop?
Yes, you're the bishop. God bless you, brethren.
God bless you.
I'll say God bless you.
Thank you.
Let me shut this recording off. And we're
praise
going to
God.
Yeah, we're going to stay on for a little while with Glory, okay? The rest of you can drop off if you like.